There was a little boy that was visiting his grandparents, and he was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target he aimed at. And as he came back to Grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. And on an impulse, he took aim and he let fly, and the stone hit, and the duck fell dead. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in a wood pile, but he looked up and he saw his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. And after lunch, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me that he wanted to help you in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go with him fishing. And Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I really need Sally to help make supper." And Sally smiled and he said, "That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it." Again, she whispered, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. And after several days of Johnny doing his chores and Sally's chores, finally he couldn't stand it, and he confessed to his grandma that he'd killed the duck. She said, "I know, Johnny." She gave him a hug, and she says, "I was standing at the window the whole time. Because I love you, I forgave you. But I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." We've been looking at our relationships and forgiveness. You see, it's our words that tend to do more damage to our relationships than just about anything else. So how do we restore relationships? How do we restore them when they go bad, when they go sour? That's what we've been talking about in part 6B of this series called God's Steps to Wholeness. We looked at the first part last week. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, brings us to this. The attitude in Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We looked at the previous five steps. Step one was realize you're not God. Step two is believe God exists and wants to be a part of your life. Step three was commit the control of my life over to God and allow Him to deal with the issues and the problems. Step four was confess. Examine my faults and confess them, admit to them. Step five was be willing to make changes in my life. And then step six was evaluate all my relationships. Has someone hurt you before with something they did or they said? Have you hurt someone else? Number one, we looked at forgive those who have hurt me. If you must be convinced as to why you must forgive, let me give you some reasons. Number one, resentment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. When you don't forgive, that's what happens. You become resentful. You become bitter. Job 5:2 says, "Resentment kills a fool." The Good News Bible translation says, "To worry yourself to death with resentment would be foolish. It's a senseless thing to do." Bitterness and resentment, as I said last week, are like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It only hurts the bitter person, not the offender. Resentment doesn't work. It comes out in all areas of their life. When we harbor resentment or bitterness, we're committing a slow emotional suicide. Resentment does not work. So why else should I forgive? The second reason was because God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let me give you a truth. You will never have to forgive someone else like God has forgiven you. You will never have to forgive someone else as much as God has forgiven you. The third reason we looked at is because I'll need forgiveness in the future. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, then your Father will not forgive your sins. Pretty serious. Forgiveness is a two-way path. Why should I forgive? Number one, because resentment doesn't work. Secondly, because God forgave me. And third, because I will need more forgiveness in the future. We shared what the Bible teaches on how you can be a peacemaker. First of all, admit my hurt. Admit my hurt. Oh, which one of these do you relate to? Which one of these are like you? You deny it and you pretend it never happened. Or maybe you just ignore it. Or we suppress it and minimize it. Whatever your hurt is, write it down. Whatever your hurt is, write it down. Admit my hurt. The second thing is release the offender. You know, you may have to forgive and forgive and forgive and keep forgiving until finally you can think of that person and it doesn't hurt anymore. People ask Jesus, how often should I forgive someone? Matthew 18, 21, he says, well, the person asked, he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And that was a lot because according to Jewish law, you had to forgive three times. He doubled it and added one more. He said, seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. How do I forgive them? How do I release them? Here's a couple of ideas that I gave you last week. First of all, the empty chair. You sit down and you put right opposite you an empty chair. An empty chair where you pretend and imagine that the person who hurt you is sitting in that empty chair and you release them. You say, you did this to me and I want to forgive you. Because resentment doesn't work, and because God has forgiven me, and I need forgiveness in the future. So you get that chair, and you pretend they're there, and you release them. Or there's another way. Maybe write a letter. Write a letter that you never mail. You write this letter, you don't mail it. You say, I want to forgive you and release you because resentment doesn't work. And God has forgiven me, and I'm going to need God's forgiveness in the future. Who do you do that for? You do that for your own sake. So that you can begin to experience freedom and inner peace. This may not be an easy thing to do, but this is a step towards relationship peace. And this is where we stopped last Sunday. Dear Father, I pray that you will help us as we continue, that you will help us to understand that we need forgiveness and we need to give it. Speak to us now, dear Father, And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The third thing is pursue God's peace. Pursue God's peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. One guy was objecting to the whole concept of forgiveness to someone who didn't ask for it. And he said, I don't think forgiveness is fair. If I forgive that person, it lets them off the hook. No, it doesn't let them off the hook, not at all. He's not on the hook. You are. It lets you off the hook. Offering forgiveness lets you off the hook. Just trust God to be God. God is going to settle the score. Let God take care of that person. He will do a far better job than you will. What's more, your resentment is keeping you from peace. It's a peace that the Bible says can't even be put into words. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. It's way above anything that you can understand. Peace is more wonderful than our minds can understand when we give it to Him. In your life and mine, emotional hurt and inner peace cannot coexist. Let me say it again. Emotional hurt and inner peace cannot coexist. When you deal with the resentment you're hanging on to and the grudges you are carrying, you go to the other side where there is peace. And once you do that, you never want to go back. You want to do whatever it takes to stay in this land of peace that's far greater than the human mind can understand. When you have lived in relational harmony, when you have lived with, worked with, served with, and worshiped with people who actually love one another, you'll do whatever it takes to stay in that place of peace. When I say pursue God's peace, I'm saying go for it. Do whatever it takes. If it means sucking up some humility, do it so you can have peace. If it means making hard decisions, do it so you can get there. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Peace is an inner thing. It has little to do with the circumstances around us, but it has a lot to do with the choices that we make in handling those circumstances. It also has to do with how we relate to other people, especially the really difficult people in our lives. Where inner peace exists is the place that no one else can touch. It's the place of peace. And if you have experienced it, you will do whatever it takes to admit your hurt and release the offender and pursue God's peace. That's part one, the forgiveness part. Part two is just as difficult as forgiving, maybe even more so. Number two is I must make amends to those I have hurt. What are amends? Making amends means to put back together, to restore, to reconcile, to say, I am sorry. Why? Because it leads to emotionally healthy living. James 3:18 says, when people work for peace in a peaceful way, they receive the good results of their right living. Good results. That's what we want. The action steps are very similar to those we looked at in forgiving someone, number one is remember those I have harmed. Remember those I have harmed. That's where it starts. I need to revive a memory of those that I've harmed. You might say, I can't think of anybody. Really? Do you owe a debt that you've not paid? Any broken promises? Anyone you've been over-controlling or possessive or hypercritical of or verbally, emotionally, or physically abusive to? Anyone you've ignored? Anyone that you've walked over or been unfaithful to or lied to? If you acted on last week's sermon, I asked you to compile a list of those people who have hurt you that you hadn't forgiven. Because when you hear their name, it triggers resentment. Well, just flip the paper over and begin a list of those you may have harmed in one way or another. Try it. It will really be a good thing to go through. It's one of the steps toward inner healing and wholeness. The Bible says, as far as it depends on you, Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. At this point, don't worry about the how-tos. Just write them down. Write down the names of people that you have possibly hurt. Don't worry about how you could have ever asked forgiveness from your ex-spouse or how you could ever pay back all the money that you borrowed from your dad. How could you, whatever it is that comes to mind, write them down. Then take the second action step, which is make amends. Make amends. Jesus said that this is such a big deal that it's even a reason to leave the worship service. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, so if you're standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God, and you suddenly remember that somebody has something against you, leave your sacrifice beside the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. You work at peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Make things right between you and that person. Maybe this could be the beginning of the end of your isolation from other people, as well as your isolation from God. At this point, some of you might say, wait a minute. If God has already forgiven me, why do I have to make amends? Why is it that I have to go after other people to forgive me? It just doesn't feel natural. Good question. But let me respond. Making amends is not about your past as much as it's about your future and getting healthy again. But before you get healthy, you need to deal with your past so you can live in freedom and confidence. Maybe some of you, when you have a conflict with someone, you think, it's really 80% their fault. And since it's 80% their fault, the burden of responsibility, that's on their shoulders. If they come groveling back and ask, then I'll forgive them. If a relationship is broken and the Holy Spirit brings to mind the part that you had in it, even if it's only 20% or 10% or 2%. Own the part that you had in it. Don't play the percentage game. Just ask yourself, do I have any part in this broken relationship? And go to that person and say, things aren't right between us. Here's what I believe I bear responsibility for in this brokenness. Would you please forgive me? Some of you may not feel ready to make amends to people that you've hurt in the past. Maybe it's too big a step for you to take. So instead of opting out on that one, how about this one? Make a commitment that from this day on, as soon as you think you may have hurt someone, make amends and ask forgiveness. For example, say you're talking with someone and you bring someone else's name into the story that basically paints that person in a negative light. You may not have intended that, but later you realize what you did and you go back to that person that you were telling the story to and you say, I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to bring that person's name up like that. Would you forgive me? Now they might look at you like you're from Mars. But it wasn't about that person, it was about you. And you'll once again be living in the land of peace. Now if I'd done this, I may need to go back to the guy whose name I slandered and ask him, tell him what I did and ask his forgiveness. But you definitely need God's direction in that one. He may never know about it. And it may not make any difference, but if the person that you said it to knows about it, and you need to ask their forgiveness. It's a big deal. You want to live in peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. So how do you do that? A, you do it with humility. You do it with humility. And B, you do it with no excuses. No excuses. We just naturally want to enlist lots of excuses. I want to say, I did that, but this is why I did that. And that's what we usually do. Forget the excuses. Actually, you might want to add this, no expectations. When you make amends, you go with no expectations. Don't expect anything back. You're not doing it for a reward. If the other person doesn't say they're sorry, it's not about them. It's about you. And you want to live in the land of peace. Also, when you make amends, you make restitution when possible. If you borrowed something, you give it back. Borrowed money, you pay it back, even if it takes a long time. You make restitution. That's a sign of sincerity in making amends. Jesus met a guy named Zacchaeus. And some of you remember that song from Children's Sunday School. I'm not going to sing it, but he was a tax collector, and the tax collector collected taxes from his neighbors. He'd give some to the Roman government, and he kept some for himself. Nobody liked tax collectors. They were considered to be thieves and traitors. But Jesus went to his house, and this guy became a changed person. He placed his faith in Jesus. Now, after his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus said, I'm going to pay back four times what I stole. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this man. Jesus said, he's the real deal. Zacchaeus made amends by making restitution. But amends are also to be made with sensitivity. Sensitivity. You need to be sensitive to that person. the more harmful your offense was to that person, the less likely you will be able to do it face to face. So make amends for the harm I've done to others, except when doing so might further harm them or others. So what do? The empty chair again. Put that chair by you. Or write that letter that you never send. Then finally, after I remember those I hurt, after I make amends, then I refocus my life. I refocus my life on doing God's will in relationships. And I start today. That's what getting healthy is all about. If I resent my brother, you know who I'm going to become more like if I don't do anything about that? You got it, my bro. Some of you may have resented a parent. You've said, I'm never going to be like my dad. And all you do when you think about your dad is you resent him. And as a result, in some way or other, usually in a very negative way, you become more and more like your dad. You become more like that person you resent, and by that, you continue to give them power and control over your life. This point says, refocus on God. Refocus on God's ways. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5, 23 and 24, that when you focus on God, He produces certain qualities in your life. And He lists them there. He says, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't you rather have that in your life than all that resentment? So choose. Either focus on who you resent or refocus your life on God and His ways. Look at the advice Job got. According to Job chapter 11, in verses 13 through 16, there are several things. He says, put your heart right. Start there. That's where you release and you forgive. And then he says, reach out to God. Some of you, maybe you've never reached out to God. Maybe today for the first time you said, God, I need you in my life. I cannot construct enough forgiveness on my own. I need your help. And you reach out to God and you turn it all over to Him. And then face the world again. Put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again. Don't be a victim. Don't be a victim. Don't hide. Live the way God created you to be lived. Face the world again. That is the way to wholeness. Look at the result. Grow firm and courageous. Verse 15 there of that passage. As the passage continues, then all your troubles will fade away from your memory like floods that are past. And be remembered no more. Let me say this as strongly as I know how to say it. Don't wait for your relationship pain to go away. It won't go away on its own. Think of all the heartbreak that a person can experience. There are few things that are sadder than relational conflict and resentment. You need people in order to live a healthy life. It's a sad statement when we get to the point where we think, how did I end up like this? Take that first step this week. Would you be a forgiving person? Would you make amends? Pursue the sixth step and see what God does in your life. If you do, peace is within your grasp. Dear Father, thank you that because of your love, you forgive us when we mess up, and we do. Although we don't deserve it, we embrace your forgiveness. And Lord, give us courage for the people you brought to our minds, even here this morning, that we will offer forgiveness and make amends so we can be whole again. Lord, may we be changed people as we leave here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.